Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Achtung Millwall yearbook is now available via the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store and buy your copy of the Achtung Millwall yearbook. Just £13, including postage and packing within the UK. It's 128 pages worth of Millwall news, views and opinion. It's a great Christmas present. Visit the millwallsupportersclub.co.uk store. All profits will benefit Demelza, Evelina and the Millwall Community Trust Foods Delivery Service.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Achtung Millwall, the world famous Achtung Millwall, broadcasting live to Indonesia, Cambodia, Vietnam, and most of sort of Southeast Asia. Coming in your ears, as Peter Kay used to say. My name is Aaron Paul. Delighted to be with you as ever. Joining me, my esteemed panel. Firstly, the podfather. He needs no introduction, this man. The editor of the Achtung Millwall yearbook. It is Mr. Nick Hart.
Greetings, listeners. It's been quite a busy old time posting books out. It's quite heavy. Well, it feels like hard work. Maybe it's because I got used to not doing any work at all. But
like a born again WH. That's what you are. And our very own savvy shopper, the Dale Winton of the Den. It is Mr. Mickey Avery.
Good evening, or good afternoon, good morning, whatever time of day we're listening, listeners. I hope you're in your green and white kit already. Mine's arrived in 6XL.
Mickey Avery's with us, Nick's with us. Plenty to talk about this week. A massive, massive week for the Lions in terms of fixtures. But a bit of a dead one to start. I mean, you can tell this was last on the old EFL highlight show. Millwall 0, Stoke 0 at the Den. Stoke the better side of this in the first half as Tyrese Campbell went close. Sam Vokes close as well for Stoke. Conor Mahoney had a late opportunity for Millwall. Limited options for Gary Rowett. And Nick, you had You had a bit of a revelation that maybe Millwall are lacking in depth.
Well, I listened to a guru on previous week's show who pointed this out, and I was a doubter. I was a doubting Thomas when said guru pointed out our lack of creativity. But I have to say that the guru maybe have had it right in the end, because I watched this last week, and obviously Ryan Woods was, what is the expression? Are you lone tired? I don't know if that's a real word. He couldn't play against his parent club last week. And we did look a little bit bereft of imaginative options, Aaron, and that's what you said last week. So I take my hat off to your vision, because it was laid bare. And I think obviously Stoke came to the Den with the intention of imposing a certain physical kind of will on the game, and they did that. Did it quite well, in all fairness to them. They're a big team and powerful team. And we just looked a little bit like we're in a pickle. We didn't quite know how to handle it, certainly the first half. Better second half without anyone really carving out clear-cut chances. And that comes back to your point. Obviously, we've got Ryan Woods back now, but from Saturday and then last the game the other night. But we do look a little bit short when it comes to unlocking you know, difficult opponents. And it is a bit of a worry, I must say.
Michael Avery, did you spend the, what, £10 to get it on the old iFollow?
Well, funny thing you say that, even though I had the £10 spent on the iFollow and the coverage was pretty good, and it was always good to hear Carl Bates as well. I think he did a great job commentating on that game, considering what was in front of him. I was debating whether to contact EFL and see if I could get my £10 back. Because it wasn't great. It wasn't good. It lacked the oomph. It lacked the sort of drive we normally see on the opening game of the season with Millwall. I mean, I know that we've historically not exactly blown teams away, but you know, we always tend to get a goal or two on the opening game of the season. Could there be no fans? Possibly. But I have to take one positive from the game, and I know I mentioned this to Harry Warren recently as well, is that I thought Scott Malone didn't have a bad game bombing up and down that left-hand side. It makes you see probably just what a good job Murray Wallace was doing filling in last season, because the difference between an actual wing-back and a left-back playing at wing-back is evident, isn't it?
I thought he did very well, Scott. You know, he's one of the few bright spots on what was a doer game. I was talking to Merv Payne the other day on Monday, and as he rightly pointed out, first games of the season are really exhilarating. And especially after this very, very strange period that we're still going through with no fans in the stadium. I mean, a Millwall Stoke game with fans inside of it might have been full-blooded, but it would have been a more exhilarating contest. I think it lacked a certain hot-blooded drama because nobody was in the stadium to be part of that theatre. So, you know, I've got to point out a couple of players that I thought are looking like little lost lambs that have wandered off from the flock, and that's John Daddy Budvarsson, who played, but I know he played because he's on the team sheet here, boys, but I didn't see much of him during the game, and that's concerning, because, you know, when will he shine if he doesn't shine when he's given the big opportunity at the start of the season? But I thought Malone did well. I'll make you right about Murray Wallace, incidentally, Michael. It's a very good point. I thought Ryan Leonard did okay. He's covering on the right side whilst Marlon was recovering. Jed, I thought, was possibly in one of his carry the weight of the world on his shoulders modes, where he tries to do everything. And, you know, spread, maybe because we did lack that certain creativity, he was feeling it a little bit more than, you know, we would have hoped this season particularly. Mahoney played better in the week against Cheltenham, which we'll probably come on to. But again, you're looking for more from some of these players. And first game of the season, and I know we've had a difficult period, but you just start to look for some evidence, you know, they can do it on a regular basis. And Connor's got to step up to the plate soon, because he's clearly got the skill and got the talent, but you've got to produce that, otherwise it's pointless. So, it was a tough start to the campaign. There was a penalty shout, which I thought in real time, I don't know if you saw it, Michael, but I thought it looked like a good shout in real time. And I think we dodged a bit of a bullet. I think it was late in the game, wasn't it, that Jacob Brown, I think they said it was, for Stoke, was put through and got, I thought, clattered from behind by Hutch. They didn't have enough angle on it to really give a clear view of it, enough to say one by the other. But thankfully, we dodged that one.
No, I sort of agree with you there, Nick. I think, as everyone says, Stoke probably did slightly edge the game. And yes, I think we did get away with that one there. But just to sort of finish on that game before you or Aaron come in, it's a bit like it was after the restart, where, you know, everyone's talking about this is the best chance in years for Millwall to go up. Yes, we had a bit of a threadbare team with certain people being out, but if you want to make a statement, you've got to start well. And a limp 0-0 at home against a team who barely stayed up last season and a team who's in disarray behind the scenes isn't the way to get started, really, is it?
No. They didn't look like a team that had barely stayed up last season to me. I know that you said you saw them, Aaron, and they were disappointing in the game that you saw. Was it an EFL?
I wouldn't say disappointing, I'd say more shit. You know, they got battered by Blackpool, mate. Absolutely battered by Blackpool, and they were lucky to go through on penalties, but they were very, very poor when I saw them Stoke. What's worrying for me with Millwall is just, again, it's just a lack of quality. Forget numbers. It's quality. It's having that striker that will score you 15, 20 a season. I know they're difficult to find, but, you know, they're needed. That kind of player is needed. You've got a Bodvarsson and you've got a Bradshaw, but ultimately, how many goals are they going to get you? I don't know how many they even got last season together. Bradshaw got 10 in all competitions. Bodvarsson got 5 in all competitions. 15 goals between two strikers is not a good return, pal. It's really not a good return. Aidan O'Brien got 4. Bennett got 2. Scalak got fucking 1. I'm not too pleased with that. I still think they should be looking for a proper striker. Look at Norwich. They went and picked up they've got Teemu Pukki,
who's come back. I thought it was quality in the Championship.
Yeah, quality in the Championship, come back from a terrible season in the Premier League. But they've gone and they've bolstered their Jordan Hugill. They went and got Jordan Hugill. Now granted they spent, you know, what, £5 million on him. Mm. But you know, surely there's people of that ilk who you can try and find. You know, I don't know. I'm sure that the transfer market is going to warm up again. I really think it's going to warm up once this season kicks in properly, and people go, shit, we ain't got a club, or you know, I need work.
You're listening to Acton Millwall.
It was a disappointing game, and I take the point about the quality, and I think it was an interesting game. If that was dour, it was interesting in that way because, you know, all of the break, there's been a lot of excitement, a bit of a buzz around the den. It was a bit of a reality check, I think. Would you agree, Michael? It felt like a bit of a bump, you know. I think we are lacking certain areas, and certainly goal scoring. I don't want to keep flogging poor old Bavarsson, but he was anonymous out there, and you can't be having that at this level. You can't get away with it for another season.
No, you're right there, Nick. I think you're right. It got a bit carried away. We've obviously got a top class manager who I've said a number of times. Let's be honest. If it worked out rightly, he won't be at Millwall. He's that good a man. The Troy Parrott signing, I know. Been injured, so there's not really a lot we can.
Michael Avery's struggling there with his connection from Yugoslavia.
that was probably the best football point ever, and we lost it all due to the breakdown of Zoom.
Just look at Norwich's squad; they've got a lot of players. You know, that's a massive squad.
Well, it's a point that I picked out one from the London Online News. Incidentally, just as a total off-topic thing. I've been looking a lot of news at Den, but I haven't looked so much at the London News Online Millwall website. It's really, really good. So big up to Richard Corley and the London News Online, the South London Press, as it is or was once upon a time. So just a little nod to the South London Press. But there's an article on there that Jed did a few days ago, or an interview with Jed, about rest being the key to the season because it is such an intense campaign now. And I think Norwich have laid in, you know, sufficient manpower to take on what is going to be a pretty tough, condensed season. You know, you look at the amount of games that are in front of us already, you're going to be a small squad will be found out quite quickly. And I just wonder whether that's a lesson that we've got to draw from last week's 0-0 draw against Stoke, because we were shown up at times and it didn't have much to come in to change it, mate, did we?
You know, I've just read an article. Joseph Dermich, Tom Tribal, Moritz Leitner have all been told by Norwich that they're going to be unlikely to be involved in the squad. Mate, I would break my balls to have Moritz Leitner in a Millwall team or Tom Tribal or someone like that. These are class players, man. They bossed the Championship a couple of years ago. Tribal, you know, as a holding midfielder, is brilliant. Leitner as someone who can play as an attacking midfielder is brilliant as well. You know, I hope losing faith with sports executives. This week we've seen, you know, Macclesfield, you know, wound up after £500,000 debt. You've got Spurs matching £600,000 a week to sign Gareth Bale, a golfer. He doesn't even play football, he plays golf.
I know. I think it's one of those subjects that if you think too deeply about it, you just get angry and come up with, as I was accused of in the week, of coming up with sixth form politics to solve it. But, you know, there is a real problem in the game when at one end of the league, someone can sign a player, a very good player, I like Gareth Bale, sign him on stupid money. And actual clubs that employ people and provides, you know, a focus for the communities they represent are allowed to go down the drain for, you know, small sums of money, comparatively speaking. there's got to be something wrong with the sport. But we could say this every week, Aaron. It don't change, mate, does it? I do think the football world is looking at what Mike Calvin called a nuclear winter at the moment, because I don't think Macclesfield are the end of the story. There's others. Was it Southend I saw? I saw a post on like a crowd fund to help Southend United carry on. Old, you know, long-term names in the game. And we're going to see across the leagues, championship, I fear, and Leagues 1, 2, National and all the other leagues, non-leagues, we're going to start to see clubs folding. And this is just a madhouse that we're living
in. The collapse of the football pyramid.
I think, the answer that you would get back from what I would call the kind of more free market point of view would be that if a business is mismanaged, and that's the truth of it, that many of these clubs have been mismanaged to get into financial troubles, chasing dreams that maybe shouldn't have been chased, but that's how they've got there. But because there's a free market in the sense that their businesses and then they fail when their credit runs out, that's just the way it is, and other businesses should pop up to replace them. I mean, that would be true if you're talking about, I don't know, any regular business, trying to think of one off the top of my head, a sandwich maker or something like that, or a motor mechanic trade. Other people pop up and things take on. But football has a sentimental value and a wider community value that goes beyond that. And I get the... and understand and to some degree accept the business argument that you've got to function within your profit margins. Your income's got to somehow match your outgoings or be near enough for it to sustain it. But to watch clubs like Southend potentially, we've seen Bury go down already last season.
Yeah.
We've got the likes of Wigan staring down the barrel. Southend United, a club that we all know because we go there every so often whenever we're in the same division as them. To see them looking at non-existence because of a failure of their own business governance, and also then the kind of association they belong to, the Football League, failing to, or whether they have a role, even they would argue they might not have a role to step in with some kind of safety net to catch them. Mm-hmm. We're losing something. Some of this goes down the political route as to what's right and what's wrong and what should or shouldn't happen. And I don't want to touch into that particularly as a sports show, but at some point you're going to start to see names fail. You know, Cheltenham in court today. I was just following, talking about Richard Crawley and the SLP. He's posting from the High Court whilst a battle takes place over the ownership of Cheltenham Athletic, which could still yet result in that club failing, you know, and not being allowed to take part in the season any further. This cannot be good, can it? I mean, look at Coventry up in the Midlands. Look at Northampton and being, you know, run into problems in the past. We say this, and I think we're starting to see the cracks appearing, because I do think we're seeing clubs disappearing under our noses now, and this will continue. So it's kind of a sad situation, but there we are.
Just to follow on from that, Nick. I mean, I know with Macclesfield, they, you don't want to say like they did it themselves, but it didn't seem to be a massive COVID issue. It wasn't because of the virus that, you know, that this happened. You know, Sol Campbell famously left because of these reasons, claimed he was owed money, etc. But it's like you were saying as well, with like whether this needs to be allowed to happen or not. I believe it was the Accrington Stanley chairman, if it wasn't, I apologise, but they were saying about sort of getting regulators in, or he said to an MP the other day, you know, we said that this shouldn't be allowed to happen, or when an MP said, oh, you know, we need to make sure, he said, well, we said this to you 9 months ago.
You're
right that there's got to be some kind of regulatory way that the EFL runs things. There just has to be, because they can't keep letting clubs continuously do this, put out a statement to say we're not happy, take off loads of points that puts them in more trouble, and then they end up going out of business, and then they go, all right, well, this season we'll just have to move the pyramid around slightly to get back to that sort of sacred 72 that is the Football League model. It is poor from the Football League. I've said it a number of times with Cheltenham. I've said it, you know, sort of during the virus as well, that the EFL or these leagues should be doing more. But your point there when you were saying about the sort of, is the pyramid going? Aaron, you probably know the initialism better than I, or the background behind it more. But I'm to a point believe that the sort of foundations were starting to crumble away when I believe, was it the EPPP was brought in, where basically the Premier League clubs could come in and say, if we give you X amount of money, we can just snap up all your best players for next to nothing?
Yeah, yeah. That's the current... I can't remember what the EPPP stands for, but it's some kind of Premier League-favoured system where they can basically take talent from smaller clubs with comparatively very little outlay on their part. I mean... You can. It depends how you look at sport and how you look at life generally. I think there's always an argument that the most successful clubs are there because they are success breeds success, and the Premier League model kind of rewards that, especially at the very top end. You know, you have a top six, top four or five clubs in the Premier League that could take part in any global league you like. You know, that's fine. I don't actually have a problem with there being elite level clubs and elite level players, far from it. It's that lack of care or attention to the wider interests of the game, which must include a wider, deeper concern for the smaller clubs, because that means that the players come through those clubs that will eventually feed up to the elite level. I don't understand the very short-term view that a lot of clubs take in the Premier League. It's like, you know, they see no further than the end of their own particular set of interests. And it has to, that something will give, and something is starting to give now, because we're seeing clubs fail on us. And once they're gone, like the song says, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And, you know, this is where the game is surely heading at the moment. I don't see anyone out there with any vision or any care or attention. There was talk of the Department of Culture, Media and Sport trying to work with the Premier League for some kind of package. I don't know to what purpose particularly. But the thing with the Premier League, and I'm using that as the widest possible sense, as a kind of a grouping of clubs, is they always want something. They don't give for nothing. Maybe no one does in this life. I don't know, but they want, so that you get the idea of B teams taking part in football league competitions, the EFL Trophy. You get the idea that keeps getting floated of having feeder clubs, you know, of there being a almost like a sealed competition at the very top. I think this is the ultimate dream, if you want to put it into a nutshell. It's like an American NFL hockey, baseball idea, that you've got a set of 30 clubs, 20 clubs, whatever, at the top that are hermetically sealed from failure and relegation. And then there's a whole load of minor league clubs underneath that feed them. And I think that's the ultimate destination of where the game is going at the moment, because I don't see anything to stop it. And the money lies in the hands of these clubs at the top, and they will want something for any rescue package that does get put together, such as that might be. So, it's a sad, sad state of affairs. All you can do is say it as it is, I believe, and I hope for the best, because we are watching it fall apart in front of our eyes now, you know.
But the thing is, Nick, is that they don't seem to be learning from like mistakes. And I know what you're saying, like the sort of bigger clubs have got the more money, and you know they're not as financially in peril as some of the other clubs would be. But all you've had during this COVID-19 outbreak, and it has been tough for everyone, like every business, every small shop, families, schools, everyone. But what's happened is now is people are looking at this, and who sort of may have saved a bit of money by not commuting, the whole working from home. But they're like, well, we're not going to go out and spend all our money. We need to be careful, because obviously stock markets are going down. This is going down. The price of that can go down. Yep. Local businesses are going to have to be careful with their spending. How on earth can a football team, and when I name the players, you'll know who I'm talking about, but how can football teams put their backroom staff on furlough because they say we can't afford the stadium, yet even though part of the wage might be covered by the home team who are selling him on, would be able to say, well, we can get a player, like you've mentioned, Gareth Bale, who at the moment's on 600 grand a week. Have they not learned anything from this? Same with Everton. A team like Everton, in my opinion, really, I mean, I could be wrong, shoot me down when we talk about the money in the Premier League and the money they get, but how can a team like Everton be able to afford a player like James Rodriguez?
Because well, no. They got money. Everton, well, I mean, they've got money. They're a very cash-rich club. Their owner fired Mashiri, actually turned around when he bought the club and said, I've got so much money that I literally physically cannot spend it with like what I've got left.
Why did he buy Everton and not Millwall?
That's a great quote. I like that quote.
He's funny. He's like, I physically can't spend it, so I might which makes you question his love for his children, you know.
I don't know. I don't begrudge clubs doing well, and I don't begrudge them having the riches that come with the game, and that's kind of what we should all want. It's this it's this overriding self-interest at the expense of everything that is the thing that I would pick them up on, because, you know, to be at the top of the Premier League is every club's wish and dream, and it does come with some costs to what you're required to become to get there. But you know, that's the aim. That's the target. That's what we should all be aiming at. But it's then with that comes this kind of idea that you then have some right to be there, that no one else has a right to take part in the game, and that somehow you've got your slice of the cake and no one else should partake. That's where the game fails on its short-sightedness. And I mean, to be absolutely blunt, this is the foundation of the Premier League itself back in 1992. Where it's at now is its logical conclusion, which was always about serving the interests of the biggest clubs at the expense of the idea that back then the 92 clubs of the other three divisions of smaller clubs had any right to a piece of the action, so to speak. So this is where we've led. I don't know where it's going to finish, and I don't offer up much hope to anybody other than to hope that the rescue package or whatever package can be put forward does at least pay some lip service to the idea that the game benefits from being wide and deep and serving the many, many small towns and communities and towns and villages across the country, because there is a value in that, I believe.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hiya, it's Libby Stubbs here from the Millwall Lionesses. Just want to say a massive thank you to Acton Millwall and all their listeners for their support this season.
Cheer me up by talking about the 3-1 win at Cheltenham midweek.
I booked my... I forgot we had friends coming over on Tuesday night. I actually booked my £10 live stream to watch it on my iPad and forgot that we had people coming round. So I finished up just catching the goals on social media, because it was a bit rude to sit, you know, fixated on the iPad whilst people are, you know, trying to make small talk and chit chat around me. So I didn't actually get to see the stream, listeners. So if I do try and sound like I know what I'm talking about, I'm going to become a fraud. And I'm an authentic podcaster, so I only saw the highlight clips. It seemed routine enough. The only thing that seemed to bother me was the fact we conceded a goal to Cheltenham, like we did at Crawley Town, and that's just niggling at me that we shouldn't be conceding goals against lower league opponents in this way. Did you watch it, Michael? Did you get to see it live? I'm trying to blag my way through it, mate.
No, I was hoping you didn't ask me because I was finishing work. It was an early kickoff, wasn't it? So it started at 6, wasn't it? Which
6 o'clock kickoff. Yeah, that's right.
Is yeah. So when you're doing the 9 to 5, it's a bit tough. It was very much a job done result. You didn't expect anything else, really, did you? The goals were taken well. But like you say, there's that little slight niggling feeling because, who was the back five? Yeah, Bielkowski in goal, Romeo Hutchinson, Cooper Wallison,
Ferguson.
And Ferguson. So. Yeah,
decent back five. I know that, I mean, Gary Rowett said in one of his interviews that you've got to expect us to, if we press forwards, which is what we're doing, then you're going to leave space at the back. And I think that would be the answer that we'd get for the fact that Crawley managed to go direct on us and got a goal. The Cheltenham goal, I believe, was a shot from the edge of the penalty area, which Bart mishandled. On another night, most nights, he wouldn't mishandle that. And, you know, that wouldn't have been a goal. So maybe we're reading too much into that. But it does irritate that we've conceded goals to lowly opponents. And yet, actually, you know, Stoke didn't really, although they dominated the game in the league game, they didn't really carve out any great chances. So we seem to have done better against the higher place opponents, which is a very, very Millwall thing to do, isn't it, ultimately? But it's progress. You know, we move on to round three. I think, is it Burnley or Sheffield United? I didn't get the results. So we're going to play in the next round, Premier League opponents in the next round, though. So normally you say that's a good thing, but in an empty stadium, it just seems rather an empty kind of event, doesn't it?
It's a tough one to a point. Like you were saying there, Nick, I mean, you never used to get excited about the League Cup anyway, even when you was a lad in. It's tough getting going when we're not allowed in, and I know obviously restrictions allow that, and the club are working really, really hard to do everything they can to get people in. But yeah, I think it'll be a bit different when we're allowed back. We all feel different.
What day is this tie on? Because I'm just looking through the BBC Sport website. It's not actually on.
No, I think it's open. Burnley or Sheffield United at the moment. I don't know when their game is played. So. I thought it might have been played on Wednesday, but it isn't. I just checked on the phone as we're talking. But so that's still either or at the moment. But it's, you know, whether it be Burnley or even a game at home to Sheffield United, with fans, that would have been, you know, a League Cup game, I accept. But it would have been a game that you would have gone to, Premier League opponents. But with the current empty stadium thing, the danger, I mean, we've already depressed everyone already with the clubs folding and, the fact that the game is in such dire straits. So I think we're going to depress everyone again because the fact that no one could actually go and get into the stadium takes away a big part of the reason, purpose for professional sport to exist. So it's a shame. I mean, we're hoping that, is it Brentford I read that it's going to be possibly a test event where 1,000 fans
come? Well, this weekend there's plenty of test events.
Yeah, and I think the club have asked for it. I don't know how that's turned out yet. But we're crying out for it, Aaron. I mean, I know the game is generally, but Millwall especially, we're crying out for fans to get back into the stadium and, you know, hopefully for normality to return, because it feels a very strange thing at the moment. One thing I did like, I was just reading some of the quotes after the Cheltenham game. Adam Barrett said that the application from the team has been superb. And that these ties, so games against Cheltenham and Crawley, can be difficult. And I think they can, because both teams, although, you know, they're in the lower divisions, they both are stiff opponents in the sense they're going to come organised and looking to make the most of whatever opportunities do go their way. So to get past two lower league teams quite convincingly, in all honesty, is a good sign. I know that we can go back to the start of the show, Aaron, and talk about creativity or lack of, and goal scoring, lack of. But to get past two lowly but tough opponents, I think, is a good start to the season. So that's something to put in the hopeful column. And hopefully, if we can get some fans back in, however, you know, bit by bit, then that's got to be good news as well for us, because that will offer the key to the season, in my opinion, to get the den back up and running in the normal way.
I agree, mate. I agree. Tell me about the Millwall yearbook, mate. It dropped through my door this morning onto the old mat. and it looks absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we've put it together. We've done it in quite a hurry, listeners. You can buy it through the Mill Supporters Club co.uk store shop. And really big thank you to the MSC for allowing me to put it on their online store, because that's been a real help, to be honest. So as the orders come in, I send them out. The prints arrived on Monday, but they arrived on Tuesday. They've come out really well. I mean, I put it together on my own laptop using Pages, Apple Pages, so it's not professional software, but there's always a slight sense of what's it going to turn out like? What's it actually feel like when you order it and print it and get it? And it's come out really nicely. The photos have really come out well. A5 size, 128 pages. We've got articles in from most of the gang on the show and some others from other people that write for us, columnists. I've tried to put a lot of photographs in there with text accompanying it to give it a nice feeling. I'm really pleased with it, I've got to say. I every year when it comes round, and I'll confess this to the listeners, I think to myself, oh my God, shall I do it? It's a lot of effort, and it's the starting of it. And then once you start, you get into it and you start to find that you get rolling with it. And so it was done in quite a short order. So it does show in places. I apologise for any typos that have crept in. I've spotted one. You always spot the typos once you've placed the order and paid for it, listeners. But I'm really pleased with the outcome. So £13 via the millsupportersclub.co.uk/store. Go to the MSC's website. You can order it on there. It supports fantastic charities, in my opinion. Demelza, Children's Hospice, that works in, I believe they're in Eltham, in South East Nine. Evelina, which is a children's hospital attached to Guy's. And the Mill Community Trust, who are delivering food to needy people, vulnerable people in the borough of Lewisham and surrounds of the grounds via the food bank service. So three great causes. That's what your money goes to. We don't make any money out of it whatsoever. We're going to cover the print costs this year, so you can rest assured that your price that you're paying will go completely to charity, and three great charities in my opinion. So there we are. We've got about 40 odd left, so move fast, because once they're gone, they're gone. They're going like hotcakes.
There are religious festivals en route. You've got
got Diwali.
Yom Kippur. When's Yom Kippur?
October. Got Guy Fawkes Night and Diwali, because the fireworks show in East London, listeners, are it's like shock and awe when that goes off.
Christmas.
Halloween.
You've got Kwanzaa as well.
We do. And if you're into paganism, you've probably got midwinter vol or whatever they call it. But so yeah, it's a great present. Really great articles. We've got one from Harry, which I've stuck right slap bang in the middle of the match reports for the season. Just like lockdown, it came smack bang in the middle of a season, and you kind of lurched from match reports onto Harry at the drop of a hat, building ventilators from scratch, quite literally, in an empty building on the site where he works, converted to making ventilators. And I just think it's one of the, I know we have a laugh with Harry, but I just think it's a great story, and it speaks volumes for him, and in my opinion for our country, because that was done at the drop of a hat. It's one of the great achievements to get that done. So Millwall, Acton Millwall Supporters Yearbook, £13 via the MSC website. Log on. I'll stick a link in the show notes for this.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. With before we go on to the next subject, just very quickly touching on with Harry, I've got to concur with that. I've read that article that he put together, that diary, and I mean, guys, like he spoke to us a lot, like when he was going in and out of work, and he was texting us early hours of the morning saying, I finished this shift. And then he was texting us a few hours later with only a few hours sleep going, I've got to go back in again. You know, when you read that, and he never sort of publicised that he was doing it, or he never sort of bigged it up, or he never sort of like really made a big deal of it on social media. But when you read that and think the work he put in.
And the other blokes.
And the other guys he works with, absolutely, entirely. Those guys... who built all those. I mean, the bit that got me, and sorry for spoilers for those who's reading it, but when he was saying that, They was having to wait, just to eat their lunch. They was having to stand under an umbrella in the middle of nowhere with their masks down around their mouths, just to basically eat.
It's an incredible read.
It's an incredible read. It really is.
They've gone from not giving away too much. They've gone from making car engines to making ventilators, two radically different products. And ventilators, like cars, have life and death aspects to them, so they're used to working to precision. But just as the XL Center was converted at the drop of a hat to a hospital, they were making these things from scratch. I just think it's a great, great story. So I'm really happy to be able to include that bit in the middle of what is otherwise a football, a football yearbook. But I was really pleased with it. So orders are welcome, and they're going to go to great, great causes. So, get your orders in, listeners.
There you go. Nick, shall we have the Acton Acker?
The Acton Acker. Let's roll that jingle.
The Acton Acker.
There we go. The Acton Acker. We've done two of them so far, listeners. We've failed, basically. We were just saying off air to Aaron on different matters that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because the Acton Acker is, if we do make any money, we'll put that into one of the charitable pots that we donate to. But so far, I don't think we've got one result right. Have we, boys? I don't think we've actually called one result right. No. So, anyway, we'll draw a discreet veil over the Achtung Acker so far, which has been a poor turnout. But this week's Achtung Acker,
the Achtung Acker,
listeners, this is going to be, what's it, a six-fold accumulator. We can stick £5 on it. And the results that we're looking for this week will be from Harry Warren. Harry's taken Brentford to beat Huddersfield. I think that's a good call, boys. I think he's chosen we hopefully get one result out of the five. We need all six to pull off the result. Aaron, you've gone for Luton to take Derby.
Yeah, yes, I have, mate. I like the look of Luton, and I'm going for that.
Good call. So Brentford, Luton. I've decided to break the habit of a lifetime, Mike, on back the Lions. I'm going to go for Millwall to get a result at Rotherham. That could be the result that kippers us, because every time I've ever backed Millwall on anything, they do the opposite, as I said on the previous show. So we've got Brentford, Luton, Millwall. Michael Avery, you've gone for Blackburn to beat Wickham.
Yeah, don't like Gareth Ainsworth. That's the only reason.
That's a spite bet. Ryan Loftus is taking Swansea to beat Birmingham. And Mike Hayden is taking Norwich to beat Preston. So the results to look out for, listeners: Brentford, Luton, Millwall, Blackburn, Swansea and Norwich. If we pull that off, boys, we're going to donate the entire winnings to one of the charities, maybe De Melza. But we've got to get the result in first. So keep your lug holes pinned back for that one, listeners.
Cash monies, as they say.
Absolutely.
That's what it will be. Should we have the fantasy football update? How's everyone getting on that?
Mate, fantasy football. Oh, God almighty. I've got involved in this, listeners, much against my better judgment. I suppose we should have some bants, shouldn't we, about who's leading it?
Yes, let's have some bants, Nick. Yeah.
Well done to Ross Saunders. He's leading the Achtung Premier League fantasy. We sparked off a little spate of parallel fantasy leagues. Did you notice that, chaps? I mean, when we announced our fantasy league, there's a little roll of others doing it as well. So I think we've set a trend here. But big well done to Ross Saunders, whose team name is something something. He's leading the pack. Ying Aubameyang, John Lewis is in number two. I don't know if I said that correct. I probably haven't. James Martin with 29 going on 11 in number three, and Luke Kyle Walker is Neil Smith is in fourth position. The highest placed Achtung voice, listeners, it had to be the XG unit of Ryan Loftus, didn't it? Who else would it be amongst us that would have enough Premier League knowledge to start succeeding at the fantasy football game? It had to be Ryan.
Yeah, I've done shit. That's because I haven't played this week. So, you know, so I'll be back. I will be back. How are you getting on, Mickey?
All I'm saying is, Aaron and listeners, is my fantasy football's going as well as the Acker.
Actually, shout out to Mike Hayden, because we've got Ryan in eighth position, joint eighth of some others. And Mike Hayden, who's a bit of a Premier League bod on the quiet, I think. You know, I know he puts on this Millwall facade, but he clearly knows he's prim as well. He's in 13th position, 66 points. So big shout out to our own Jiri Skalak, Mike Hayden. I've just about worked out how you make transfers, listeners. I was fiddling with it last night ahead of doing a recording, because I let the computer pick my 11 to start off with, and then didn't look at it again until last night, and I managed to move one of the players in and out as a goalkeeper. I can't remember who I've chosen. So I've not paid it the most attention that I should have paid it, but I will have a go. We'll review where we are next week on the Fantasy Football Update. That needs a jingle. Doesn't it?
It does. It was some sort of like the price, you know, family fortunes or the price.
I'll see what I can do.
Underneath it, you know.
Football, it's one of those. Just to close us out, fantasy football, I put in the same category as these all or nothing documentaries that are doing the rounds, because there was a question.
Anyone watch the Spurs one?
Well, that was the question that was put to Gary Rowett on the news at Den. Would he consider doing an all or nothing, fly on the wall style documentary at Millwall? I think obviously they would hope for, you know, sparks and heated conversations and drama and all the rest of it. But there's so many of them, Aaron. They're all doing it. Manchester City have done one, haven't they? Sunderland, Leeds, Tottenham now.
Sunderland.
Do you watch them? Do you watch them, Aaron?
Yeah, I do. I find them quite interesting. I mean, the Sunderland one I thought was shit, but I think that Amazon have pumped a bit more money into it in the way it's been filmed and edited. The Sunderland one was poor, though.
I haven't seen that. I
mean, it was very poorly put together. It was just a bit crap, really. The Leeds one was decent. The City one was decent. The Spurs, I've watched the first three episodes. It is decent. I literally just need a bit of time to sit down and actually watch. And yeah, just watch them, really.
Gary Rowett's not keen. He was offered the chance to do something similar at Derby, but he wasn't keen. Well,
where would he do it? Outside Zampa Fish?
I think outside the ice factory on Ballina Road.
Do they rig up a like a spy camera inside the dressing room? Have they done the Tottenham one? Is it an actual cameraman standing in it? Because I wouldn't fancy that if I'm just had a shower and I'm walking around, you know,
with Hampton out.
I wouldn't if the camera was on me. No, I mean, I know you got to get dried off and changed, but you know, you
come on, Nick. You know that there are ladies out there that are paying a lot of money to see you, mate. Come on, don't be shy. Why being shy?
35 years ago, it might have been worth looking at, mate.
Nick, mate, there's a lot of ladies.
When he had his ponytail,
in the old 1990s rave. If there's anyone that I'm going to have to set up this OnlyFans. I mean, Ryan creased up when I said I knew what OnlyFans was. I don't know, he thinks I'm moving. Some kind of Dickensian, you know, quill and camera. Candle or something, but anyway, we'll move swiftly on. Let's move on to the big game of the weekend for the Lionesses. We're playing the London City Lionesses. Is that the breakaway club? The split club, Michael. You're up on all these things.
Slight disclaimer, and we can edit. We're playing New London Lionesses.
Is that a different club?
Who are named are quite similar. They play. Okay. They play out in West London Regent's Park, so yes, they are actually a London-based version of a London Lionesses. That's all I'll say on that matter. But right. Yes, it's a huge game. I'm not just saying it.
FA Cup, Women's FA Cup.
Yeah. So it's a Women's FA Cup, but more importantly, it is we're allowed fans back into St Paul's.
Okay.
It's capped at 300. Obviously, St Paul's can hold more, but due to social distancing requirements. And putting everything in place, it can only be 300 at the moment. But it's a big game, because we had a great win last week against Stevenage Developments, where it was a really, really good performance. We've got this big game at the weekend, and at the moment, it's selling fast. We're past 75% of ticket sales already. Okay. I mean, we only put the ticket link up on Tuesday night. So, you know, to nearly sell out within 48 hours is huge for us, obviously. And it'll just be good for Millwall fans to get in and actually see See, a Millwall team, the girls are very excited for the game. They cannot wait. And they cannot wait. And more importantly, they cannot wait to play in front of fans. Yeah. That's what they're really, really looking forward to. And just before we touch on, I've got to give a shout to the Lionesses sort of backroom committee people, so like Sean Daly, people like Tom Gale, Alex Russell, because we have been working, I cannot put into words how hard we've been working to get this game on, to convince, obviously, like the council it can go ahead, local residents, to convince fans that obviously they can come back in, the amount of paperwork we've had to go through. One of the reasons it's all ticket as well is because that is a COVID restriction. So unfortunately, if you don't have a ticket, you're not allowed to attend, as harsh as that is. But that's part of the criteria. But no, it's going to be a big, big game. Really, really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Looking forward to it as well, chaps. Anyone got any plans for the weekend?
I should be watching. I've got to go to Wicks to get our downstairs toilet sorted out. But that's going to be combined with watching the iFollow stream of Rotherham United versus Millwall from the New York Stadium. What a wonderful name for a place in the middle of Rotherham, the New York Stadium.
Nick, is the Wicks trip on the OnlyFans subscription?
People pay to watch that.
Will you be wearing something?
They need help.
Dungarees or what's your outfit going to be? Dungarees? Are you going to be topless? You know,
going around Wicks.
Are you going in a van?
Yeah. It's the most depressing Wicks in the world. It's one of the North Circular. Listeners may know it near Barking. It is the most depressing looking Wicks in the world in a blasted moonscape of location there. So that's where I'll be. But I'll be back in time for the football. So
Good stuff. Chaps, it's a big one from the New York Stadium. It's Saturday afternoon. The Lions taking on Rotherham United. How's it gonna go, Microwave?
Rotherham 0, Millwall 2.
Nick Hart?
Yeah, I fancy us to win now. In fact, I've put my money where my mouth is in that Achtung Acker. So I think we'll get a couple of goals. I think that we're going to get... It'll be Rotherham... Maybe Rotherham 1, that Millwall 2. But I'm predicting a Millwall win. I'm optimistic. What about you, Aaron?
I'm going Rotherham 1, Millwall 3. There'll be some goals there for the Lions.
The old underbelly
isn't the best.
Yep.
But thank you very much, ladies and gents, for joining us on another Achtung Real Millwall Fan Show. Don't forget to get your yearbooks, get involved in the fantasy football. Good to have you with us. Until next week, though, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Achtung Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. However, did I tune you wrong? Till next time.
For the best Championship, League One and League Two coverage, Achtung Millwall recommends the Football League paper. It's got it all covered. For the complete EFL picture, get the Football League paper, £1.50 every Sunday, or visit theleaguepaper.com for a variety of digital subscriptions. The Football League Paper. It's got it covered.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.